Dear devotees, you are welcome for continuity of our Bhakti Vaibhav, second canto Srimad Bhagavatam. We are starting today the third chapter, the pure devotional service, the change in the heart. And in the first section, there is a description of the worship of the demigods or the devatas. So here we have first section, demigod versus pure devotional service. And this section will continue from verse number 1 to verse number 12. This is the theme of this section. There is one way in this third chapter, in verse number 24, and the purport of verse number 24, Srila Prabhupada has given the summary of the first and second chapter. So, this is the purport of chapter 3, canto 2, verse number 24. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness by the process of hearing and chanting, that is the verse number 5, has been stressed. And a gross conception of personality of the Godhead in his universal form for the beginner is recommended. By such a gross conception of God through the material manifestation of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as a super soul in every heart and everywhere and in every item of the material universe. So this is second chapter actually. The system of Panch Upasana, Panch means five, recommended five mental attitude for common men. Recommending five mental for the common man is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradual development, worship of the superior, and may be in the form of fire, electricity, sun, mass of living entities, Lord Shiva, and at least the impersonal super soul. See, this Srila Prabhupada is an impersonal super soul, impersonal universal form. So this is the way the practitioners see it, but actually super soul is a Kshiro Dakshaya Vishnu, is a form, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter, but in the third chapter further development is described. After one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship, a pure devotional service, and the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein. And what is the mature stage of Vishnu worship? Change of the heart. That is the actually title of this chapter. So this paragraph is a summary of first and second chapter. is sort of over you. Now we are reading the first verse.
Roshi, can I ask one thing?
Yes.
I wanted to ask the, this commentary is of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But this thing, can you scroll a little bit down?
Oh no, this commentary which I read is Srila Prabhupada's.
Yes, I just wanted to ask ki, the commentary in this, which I took from you, is of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But yes, the other thing, which is in bold, what is that? If you scroll a little down.
Right now, in my this right now?
Yes, Prabhuji. This thing, see, add SB231N. This thing, Shukadev said.
This is the translation by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Achha, okay. First translation, then comment.
Yeah, first is the translation of the verse by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur.
Okay.
And then there is a commentary.
Yes, okay, Prabhuji. Thank you. And also, I noted one thing. In first canto, 11th chapter, the commentary is one verse late. I mean, if we are studying on verse 27, so the commentary is of 26th verse. There, the commentary is not placed correctly.
Could be.
In first canto, 11th chapter.
I don't know. It could be something like that.
Yes, I noted today morning itself.
All right, could be.
Yes. Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. So, other student got, you sent that they got it? What about the other friends? You got this material which you sent?
Yes, I got it. Yes, I got it.
Okay.
Also.
Is it useful?
Yes. Useful.
Well, something. Srila Prabhupada is elaborating some certain things, and the points are there in a nutshell in a Chakravarti Pad's commentary. So it will give a little more like understanding of the things to an something for us. So now we are going to the verse number 1. Shri Shukavacha evam etam nigaditam prishtvan yad bhavan mama nirnam yanam riyamananam manusheshu manishrinam. Well, last word manishrinam is very important for the intelligent person. So Srila Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshat, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. So in other words, the question asked by Parikshat Maharaj in first canto chapter 9, in two chapters, they were answered by Sukhdev Goswami. Chakravarti Pad translates, they are only the way to put the things. Sukhdev said, in response to your question about the activities of the dying man, I have explained the two paths according to the yoga. And for those who are intelligent among men and dying, I have explained the path of bhakti. And that was the last section of the chapter 2. So Chakravarti Pad writes, in third chapter, it is explained that result of worshipping demigods or devatas is insignificant, and that senses are useless without being employed in bhakti to the Lord. So this is the sort of summary of the third canto. Third chapter. Worship of the demigod is insignificant, and senses are useless if they are not employed for bhakti to the Lord. And now this verse. What you ask about duties of the dying person, I have explained in terms of two paths for the yogis. And among those persons, from those who are wise and dying, such as yourself, I have described the process of hearing, glorifying and remembering the sweet pastime of the Lord. So it means by now, Sukhdev Goswami has given us three parts. two for the yogis, attached yogi, unattached yogi, and one for the devotee, intelligent people. So for the unattached yogi is a path of direct yoga, and for attached yogi it is a meditation on the universal form and then gradually merging. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport starts on the word actually in the verse Manishrinam, who is intelligent. So in human society all over the world there are millions and billions of men and women, almost all of them are less intelligent. They are not Manishrinam, that they are not like a thinkers. Because they have very little knowledge of a spirit soul. So criteria for intelligence is knowledge of the spirit soul. Almost all of them have a wrong conception of life. What is the wrong conception of? Just enjoy. For they identify themselves with the grass and subtle material bodies which are not in fact. It means they are simply focused on the mental or bodily platform or intellectual platform, but not on a spiritual platform. Therefore, they are less intelligent. They may be situated in different high and low position in the estimation of the human society. High position means economically very advanced, or big scientists or philosophers, or they may be small street sweepers. They may be different status, but their criteria for intelligence is different.
I have a question.
Yes.
Can you maybe explain, like, because we have knowledge about the spirit soul, like we are now studying Srimad Bhagavatam and we hear about the spirit soul, but still we don't get it. I mean, you know, sometimes like the knowledge is there, but we still don't maybe have this realization and so on.
Well,
is it that we know or that we must realize it?
Well, there are two ways to look at this. One is those who don't know, if they are innocent, they can be coached and trained. And there are people they know and they don't want to listen. They are more dangerous. They know but they don't follow.
Yeah, that's true.
And what we are actually, we are knowing and we are in the process of realization, but we have not yet realized. So we are like sadhak or practitioners. So we are in a process, today or tomorrow, we will definitely, by the sincerity of the purpose and humility and firm conviction that Srila Prabhupada has given us a perfect path and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is most merciful, that we will definitely and certainly and surely will succeed in realizing. I think that attitude is very good for us.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, but one should know definitely that unless one inquire about his own self beyond body and mind, all his activities in human life are total failure. Sharam ebhi kevalan. Therefore, out of thousand and thousand of men, one may inquire about his spirit self and thus consult the revealed scripture like Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Any verses coming in your mind when we are reading this?
Yes, Yes, from the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes.
But I don't know it by heart.
Manushyanam sarhesu.
Yes, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit jatati siddhaye yatnampi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvata. So out of thousands, one is inquisitive about the who am I, and then he can refer to the scripture. But in spite of reading and hearing such scripture, unless one is in touch with this, this is what something which we have and people don't have. But in spite of reading and hearing such scripture, unless one is in touch with the realized spiritual master, he cannot actually realize the real nature of the self, etc. Self, etc. means self, supreme Lord, and the material nature and their relationship. So it means even we have scripture, but if we don't have a bona fide, realized guide as a spiritual mentor, it's not possible to really realize. And out of thousand and hundreds of thousands of men, someone may know that Krishna is the fact. This is the second part of the same verse. Yatadam visdhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. Out of millions of such people, one can know Krishna in essence or truth. So this is the this portion is the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Also, this is now Srila Prabhupada is quoting in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela 21-23. This chapter 20 is teaching to the Sanatana Goswami. It is said that Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, prepared the Vedic literature in the incarnation of Vyasadev for reading by intelligent class of man in the human society, which is almost totally forgetful of genuine relation with Krishna. So Krishna kripa kile diye ved pran, I don't know, something is like that. Can somebody, I will look. Madhya 20, 21, 22, 23. Is this verse exactly?
Yes.
You found it?
Yes, I have it.
And what is the next word? And the next
the condition, it says a conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort. But out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literature and its supplements, the Puranas. It's a very sweet verse.
Well, this is an introduction of Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, very sweet.
Or 23, huh?
Krishna's mercy that gave us, because we cannot revive our consciousness.
22 is Maya Mukta, and 23 is Shastra Guru. This is the more elaborate.
Shastra
Guru Atma Rupe Apanare Jnana. Krishna Mora Prabhu Tara Jivera Jnana. The forgetful conditioned soul is educated by Krishna through the Vedic literature, the realized spiritual master, and super soul three ways. By three ways, Krishna helps the conditioned soul. Through these, he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is, and he can understand that Krishna is his eternal master and deliverer from the cultures of the Maya. In this way, one can acquire real knowledge of his constitutional, conditional life, real knowledge of conditional life, and can come to the understand how to attain liberation. So, conditional and constitutional. So, these are the two verses, okay? Even such an intelligent class of men may be forgetful in their relation with Lord. The whole bhakti yoga process is therefore a revival of lost relation. This revival is possible in human form of life, which is obtained only after evolutionary cycle of 8,400,000 species of life. The intelligent class of human being must take a serious note of this opportunity. Not all human beings are intelligent, so the importance of human life is not always understood. Therefore, Manishrinam means thoughtful. It's particularly used here. A Manishinam person like Maharaj Parikshit Madhyeshwar take to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna and fully engage himself in devotional service, here chanting and etc. of the holy name and pastime of Lord, which are all Hari Katha Amrit. This action is specially recommended when one is preparing for death. So the whole purport is focused on the word Manishinina, who is intelligent. In early days there was one paper printed, who is crazy? Anybody remember? In early days of Krishna consciousness, this Brahmananda and Gargamuni Maharaj's mother came and told to Prabhupada that you had made my son crazy. My son's crazy. So next day Prabhupada gave class, who is crazy? And then he quoted something like that, the people don't know the science of soul, they are crazy. And then the small pamphlet were printed in those days, who is crazy? So this purport is like that. Now we have 2 to 7 verses. These verses are actually referring the Vedas, because Veda has a Karma Kand section. So Bhagavatam is giving place to the Vedas, but it's telling that it's not. Now in these 2 to 7 verses, there is recommendation for worship for different demigods for different material results. So here is a list, a chart made. Desire to be absorbed in impersonal Brahma Jyoti, demigod worship is Brahma or Brahaspati. Powerful sex life, worship Indra. Good progeny, Prajapati Daksha. Good fortune, Durga Devi. Power, Agni. Money, Vasu. To be a great hero, Rudra. Large stock of grains, Aditi. Heavenly planet, Aditya, son of Aditi. Worldly kingdom, Vishwadeva. Popularity among the general mass, Sadhya Deva. Strongly built body, earth. Stability in his post, earth and horizon combined. Beauty, Gandharva. Good wife, Apsara and Urvasi. Dominion over others, Lord Brahma. Tangible fame, supreme personality of Godhead, Yajna. Good bank balance, Varuna. Vast learning, Lord Shiva. Good material relationship, Uma. So, if you ask people which they select out of these, what do you think? You want to select something out of these 21 different items given here? What do you think? They are very tempting, right? What is good about that? That they are in a Vedic literature. That they are the authority, they follow the authority. And therefore they are within the jurisdiction of Vedic civilization. And then there is a gradual possibility of advancement. But in a modern society, even if we want all these benefits, we don't follow any authority, we want to do on our own by hook or crook. So this is only the difference between the two. Therefore, even this Vedic worship, demigod worship, is within the jurisdiction of Varnashram Dharma for a gradual step-by-step progress. But in a modern Western world, all these things they achieve by their own efforts. This is the only difference. Now, we have this, this is just given a chart for, now this verse number 2. they are all together, but Brahma Varchasaha Kamasto Yajeta Brahmana Patim Indram Indriha Kamascha Praja Kama Praja Patinam. So the message of this verse, we'll read Prabhupada's purport, they all are together. Generally, person desiring material benefit worship the demigods. This is a general concept. For example, knowledge, Brahma, strong senses, Indra, progeny, Daksha, like that. Now, after that, we have a little sort of seminar. Here is the verse from Bhagavad Gita. Arjun says, Ye shastram vidim utsarjaya yajante kama karataha tesham nishtatuka krishna sattva sattvam aho rajastamaha. O Krishna, what is the position of those who give up the rules of scripture but worship with faith? Is this sattva, raja, atama? It means all these demigods worship is within the three modes of material nature. And Sri Bhagavan answer, Trividha bhavati sharda dehinam swasvabhavajat sattviki rasi chaiva tamsi cheti tamshano. The faith of embodied being is of three types arising from their previous impressions. Subhavja means from their many, many lifetimes they have this faith. Swabhav means our nature. And nature, where does this nature is actually having its influence in our being? Anybody? How nature is formed and where nature is say residing in a crude sense. Yes,
my intelligence.
Yes, the place for the nature is subtle body, particularly mind. And how the nature is formed or subhav is formed?
By action,
how we perform action?
By thinking.
Mind we mix with goodness, mode of goodness.
When you are saying good actions are by the three modes of material nature, our subhav or our nature is the outcome of three modes of material nature, and they influence the subtle body, and this goes with us from one body to other body. So what three things we concentrate is, nature of a living being is the combination of influence of three modes of material nature, and their influence is on the subtle body, which manifests through the senses in a grass body. Is it clear? So these senses, so these impressions for these people are coming from many lifetimes. It is made of sattva, raja and tama. Please hear about them. Now, here is a list. Baldev Vidya Bhushan explained these verses. Being asked, Lord begins to speak, this is a Bhagavad Gita commentary, that faith by which one worships the devata, devas means demigods, and other beings while giving up rules of scripture, because of laziness or difficulties, should be understood to arise from virtuous or sinful impression from previous lives. Subhav ja, ja means born. That faith is of three types arising from the status of sattva, raja and tama. For the beginningless, unrelenting birth of the embodied soul in beginningless contact with three gunas of prakriti. So this is a continuous process. They do not have the spiritual intelligence arising from the scripture. So their intelligence is only coming from three modes of material nature, not from the scriptures, taught by the devotees, which will allow them to change those impressions, subhav. We come in contact with the Krishna conscious movement, so many of our subhav, nature, our habits changed. Therefore, the three types of faith which arise from those impressions appear. Faith born from scripture is different. So by now we have two types of faith. Faith arising from three modes of material nature and faith arising from scripture understood under the guidance of the devotees. It brings about performance of action only according to the scriptural direction, not because of impression of three gunas. So scriptural faith is according to the scriptural direction. It means sadhana bhakti actually. Now the verse number 4 of the 17th chapter says, Yajante sattvika devan yaksha rakshansi rajasah pretan bhut gunas chanya yajante tamasa janah. Now even in this list of the worship which we will read now, those with sattvic nature worship devatas, means demigods. Those with rajasic nature are a passion, worship yaksha and rakshasas. And those with tamasic nature worship preta and bhuta.
What is the difference between yakshas and rakshasas?
They are both one. Brahma, when created, one says, eat it. And other says, don't leave him. Rakshasa, don't leave him. Yaksha, eat him. So they are called yaksha and rakshas. They both are more or less same. But they use the two terms when Brahma created. One say, eat him. Other say, don't spare him. So they are called yaksha and rakshasas. But yakshas are Kuber and they are Rakshas. There's a list of these also here. Balde Vidya Bhushan here, commentary. The result of worshipping with a different faith are described in this verse. Those persons with faith born of their previous impression worship sattvic devas such as Vasu and Rudra. Without the discrimination of scripture are called sattvika. Those who worship rajasic entities just as yaksha and rakshasa, Kuber and Nariti. The people worship Kuber because they want wealth. And Nariti, this is also in one of our lists, we'll see. They are in mode of passion. Those who worship the tamasic entities such as pretas, means the ghost, and bhutas, pret and bhuta, in the mode of ignorance. Thus, three types of faith arising from the different nature due to previous impression without following the rules of scripture because of laziness have been described. It should be understood that by conquering over their nature, by association with person following Vedic principle, these persons sometime come under the authority of Veda. And that is actually the purpose of this section. Now this is the Bhagavad Gita section of chapter 7, I think, yes. The impious never surrender, but the pious do. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukratin arjuna arto jigyasur arthaarti jnani cha bharta shabha. We know this. So, then who worship you? Four types of people worship. Those who follow the rules of one ashram, sukratina, worship me. Among them, some desire relief from affliction, from calamities like sickness, some desire knowledge of Atma, or desire knowledge of scripture with grammar, and some desire enjoyment in this life and next with land, elephant, horses, woman, gold and other things. This is a artharthi. These persons worship me. These three are sakam grasta. The fourth type, jnani sannyasi, with pure heart, who worship me with devotion, is nishkam, without material desire. And then, this section of chapter 9 of Bhagavad Gita, fools neglect bhakti, divine don't. Yapyanya devata bhakta yajante shardhyan vitaha tepi mam eva konte yajante avidhi puravakam. Those who are devoted to other gods, means demigods, and with faith worship them, they also worship me, but by wrong method, O son of Kunti. antavanto phalam tesham tad bhavate alpamedasan devan devyajo yanti madbhakta yanti mamapi. The result obtained by these foolish persons are temporary. Those who worship devas attend devas, and those who worship me attend me. Now this is the verse which we will come, I think today it will not come in our discussion. Tomorrow I think there is a presentation, something, class is not there tomorrow, is it right? Or we'll check at the end. Well, this verse earlier is given there, it is not actually here. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham para. I think this is the verse you have to memorize, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Right. So the person desiring destruction of all desire, akama, a person with all desire, sarva kamo va, and even the person with an intense desire for liberation, moksha kama, if he has good intelligence, udara dhihi, magnanimous, will worship the Supreme Lord with pure bhakti. This verse, summary is, an intelligent person, be he an akami or sarvakami or moksha kami, will worship the Supreme Lord with tivar bhakti. Tivar means intense. So this is the verse from Bhagavatam. Sve sve adhikare ya nishta sa gunaha parikirtitaha viparyasto doshasyat ubhayor esha nishtaya. Steadiness in one's own position. Position, adhikar means his qualification or his eligibility. Is declared to be actually piety, a gunahi parikirtitaha. Whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety, doshavat. In this way, two are definitely ascertained. With the word sve sve adhikar, different qualifications are signified for karma, jnana and bhakti. Some are qualified for karma, fruitive action. Some are qualified for jnana, which means knowledge, and some are qualified for bhakti. So, for the person qualified for pure bhakti, performance of action of karma, jnana, and failure to perform bhakti are both fault. So, for person qualified for pure bhakti, performance of action of karma and jnana is fault, and failure to perform bhakti is also fault. And the duties expected of qualified practitioner. Agyaneva gunan doshan mayadishtan api svakam dharman santyajaya sarvam mam bhajeta sah sattamah. He perfectly understands that the ordinary religious duties prescribed by me in various Vedic scriptures possesses favorable qualities that purify the performer. And he knows that neglect of such duties constitute a discrepancy in one's life. Having taken complete shelter at my lotus feet, however, a saintly person ultimately renounces such ordinary religious duties and worship me alone. He is thus considered the best among all living entities. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.32. That is what actually theme of this chapter, at least first 12 verses. That people should worship, I told that worship demigod because it will purify them. But one who is eligible for the pure devotion, he can directly worship me, and then he can give up all those things, and then there is no fault. And he is the best devotee. Now we are coming back to our verse number 3, 4, 5, 6. This we will do now. So,
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
Sorry, Brother Dushyant. Initially you were saying how the Swabhava is formed. In that PPT you are saying that
because of the laziness, they don't follow the scriptures. And in that PPT, it was mentioned both virtuous and the sinful.
Yes.
Can you please show that PPT, Prabhu? It was virtuous means those who follow the scriptures.
It's the pious and impious, but both the word were pious and impious. This was some verse quoted. I think we will again see this presentation. Simply, this was discussed to show that this section of Bhagavatam as a demigod worship, which is put in Bhagavatam, because it is within Vedic jurisdiction, it follows the authority and it purifies gradually the performer, but it is not for the intelligent people.
Okay, bro.
And this is that the discussion started was, most of these worship of these demigods is coming within three modes of material nature. So this, I think, worship, this whole translation of these five verses is very, as such, straightforward. We all can read and relish it. Now we are reading Srila Prabhupada's purport for these five verses. There are different modes of worship, different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. The conditioned soul living within the purview of material world cannot be an expert in every type of materially enjoyable asset. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod, as mentioned above. Now what Srila Prabhupada is saying, because people in material world, they have a different desire. The main, say, the whole concept is desire. Person desiring success. So actually the section says from the material desire we have to be desireless, which means only desire serving Supreme Lord for elevation of our soul. That is the whole goal. And that is actually the change of the heart. Prabhu, Hare Krishna, meri class hai, I am just giving class, you can call 7:30 Indian time. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada is giving example. The Ravan was made a very powerful man by worshipping Lord Shiva. And he used to offer severed head to please Lord Shiva. He was cutting his one head every day. I mean, said he has nine head cut, and then Lord Shiva appeared. Lord Shiva. He became so powerful by the grace of Shiva that all demigods were afraid of him. Until he at the last challenged personally guarded Lord Sri Lord Ramachandra, and thus ruined himself. In other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some or all of the material object of enjoyment are the gross materialistic persons, are on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. It is said there that those who are bereft of all good sense, maya prahrita jnana, are those whose intelligence is withdrawn by the deluding energy of the maya prahrita jnana, aspire to achieve all sort of material enjoyment in life by pleasing the various demigods, or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. Now Prabhupada has compared the Vedic system of demigod worship for economical upliftment with modern civilizations, economical development through scientific progress. Both are more or less material, what this Prabhupada wants to say. The real problem of life is the material world is to solve the question of birth, death, old age and disease. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid. And no one wants to be disease, to want disease. But these problems are solved neither by grace of any demigod, nor by the so-called advancement of material science. In Bhagavad Gita as well as in Bhagavatam, such less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. And Sukadeva Goswami said that out of 8,400,000 species of living entities, the human form of life is rare and valuable. And out of those rare human beings, those who are conscious of material problem are rare still. Means those who know that why there is a death and why there is a disease, they are very rare. And still more rare person are those who are conscious of the value of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which contain the message of the Lord and His pure devotees. The death is inevitable for everyone, intelligent or foolish. But Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by Sukadeva Goswami, as Manishi, or a man of highly developed mind, a thoughtful man. Because at the time of death, he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of Lord by hearing his message from the right person, Sukadeva Goswami. But aspiration for material enjoyment by endeavoring persons are condemned. Such aspirations are something like an intoxication of degraded human society. Intelligent persons should try to avoid these aspirations and seek instead the permanent life by returning home back to Godhead. So, before we go to the verse number 8, can somebody summarize what is in these 5 verses? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7. Six verses. What is Prabhupada's purpose is focused on? Yes, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada, Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Yes.
So, in response to the question by Maharaj Parikshit, what is the duty of a dying man? And previously, as described the path of direct mukti and krama mukti, and also about the path taken by the intelligent man, that is bhakti. So, here again, he is describing that demigod worship with the pure devotional service. So, in that, demigod worshippers are considered less intelligent. And that akama sava kama va moksha kama udara, that sloka also we saw that it's better to worship the Supreme Lord, not go to the demigod. Even though that, like, even though it's all virtuous and authorized by the Vedic injunction, still it is not the best path. It's not for the intelligent part.
Okay.
Because then, yeah, it goes down against the samsara, but that cycle. So, this is this. That's why we have to take the path of devotional path, the intelligent path, the pure devotional path.
Okay, somebody wants to add to it this?
Guru Prabhupada is saying that the problems of life, birth, death cannot be solved by devata worship, demigod worship. And to solve this, you have to take the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, just wanted to add that.
I think there are two words, not by demigod worship, neither by modern scientist. So, Srila Prabhupada has actually given a parallel, the demigod worship by the Vedic follower and the scientific advancement for the more comfortable life are both endeavor of a less intelligent people. So the whole purpose is majority of the population is less intelligent, and criteria is, what is the criteria for intelligence, Manishini Nam?
Knowledge of soul.
Knowledge of the soul, yes. So out of millions, hardly some people are trying to know about soul, and out of the those who are trying to know about the soul, very rare people are going to Bhagavatam. Prabhupada has put this thing here, that those who are going for Bhagavatam are the most intelligent, because they will find actually who is the Supreme Lord and how to love and serve Him. So he gave actually Bhagavatam as a second step after the Vedic literature.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yes.
So, in translation, here it is mentioned that one who aspires only after money should worship the Boshus, Ashtaboshus. And also, at the end, it's mentioned that one who desires a good bank balance should worship the demigod Varuna. So, both are the same thing almost. And my question is, there is Lakshmidevi also. Lakshmidevi also helping to get, you know, this kind of bank balance or money, whatever. So, and also, there's another sentence. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. So, to be learned man, we know that we should worship Saraswati, Goddess Saraswati. So, what are their roles actually? Saraswati, Lakshmi. Here it is mentioned only Boshus and Shiva.
Well, Lakshmi is not demigod. First thing is that, but this section is like demigod. Lakshmi is not demigod. She is the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. And well, there is a variation in worship and the results obtained in a different Vedic literature. So Shri Bhagavatam has given this list, and some other Puranas. Every Purana always prefer to glorify the particular deity which this Puran is glorifying. We go to the Devi Puran, then it will say the Devi is everything, Durga is everything. This all demigod worship is more or less material. We see, practically speaking, we see every year there's a big Durga Puja in Calcutta. And people have big deities of Durga, but the all songs of cinema is going on. And anybody walking on the street, they will ask money for. So they have nothing to do with Durga. They want some little enjoyment. Similarly, there is a Ganpati Puja in Maharashtra. Nicely, they decorate everything, and after three days or 5 days or 7 days, they just do visarjan of Ganpati in ocean or a river, and they just enjoy 7 days, and they dance and, you know, drink and everything. So this is not actually a spiritual practice at all. Even you devotee, we as a devotee can see what the demigod worship is. Taking a form of more like entertainment for enjoyment, nothing spirituality at all. But there are people, really they worship the demigod with sincerity. According to the Vedic rules, the demigods will bless them to advance. People who are worshipping Lord Shiva, they were blessed by Shiva to become Vaishnavas. It says, that one who worship Durga for so many lifetimes will be promoted to worship Shiva, then the one who worship Shiva is promoted to worship Vishnu after so many times. So if they follow real path, even of the demigod worship, they will advance ultimately to the spiritual understanding. But most of them are using demigod worship as a social event now.
So, Prabhu, that means Boshus and Lakshmi Devi, so almost they are doing the same thing, like for the living entities?
Well, Lakshmi is more, basically speaking, Lakshmi is not counted among demigods.
But we find that in Durga Puja,
beside Durga, oh, Durga Devi, there is...
Yeah. People are doing Lakshmi Pija, Puja also with that intention, like all Diwali people, on Diwali people do Lakshmi Puja. But it should be the Puja of the Lakshmi Narayan both, then it is bona fide. So all these different worships are at a material concept of fulfilling desire. That is the bottom line.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, who is it?
It's Loka Pavani. Okay. Sorry, I'm sick.
Okay, Loka Pavani as a person and Pratik as a hands up. Yes?
I wanted to ask because I get confused sometimes. I read in the Shastras that demigods are also Jivas, like, but they are just advanced. I mean, because of something they got, the position. So did I get it wrong? And also Durga, I mean, she's not a Jiva. She's like a Shakti. So can you just, that I understand?
Oh, yeah,
it?
I know. What you are saying is right. And in a tattva, we are Jiva, but we are also Shakti, marginal energy, right?
Yes.
We are Jiva, we are also marginal energy. So Durga is also external energy. Except Lord Shiva, all the demigods are in the category of Vibhinna Ansa, separated part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. They are of the same quality as the living entity, but they have all 50 qualities in more percentage, quantity wise. They have more power, more beauty, more, jurisdiction, more responsibility, that's all. So, as far as your question is concerned, there is a Vishnu Tattva, there is Shakti Tattva, and there is a Jiva Tattva. This is a one way to classify, actually. Vishnu Tattva, Shakti Tattva, and Jiva Tattva. So all Vishnu Tattva, they are coming from the right side of the Krishna as a Balaram, and then Sankarshan, and then further incarnation and Narayan, everything on the right side. And from right left side of Krishna comes Radharani, and from Radharani comes all Lakshmis, and her shadow is the Durga. So this is a Shakti Tattva in that sense. And we as a living entities, we are Jivas, but we are actually Shakti. Therefore, we are actually, Krishna says, my part and parcel, but through Shakti, not direct. I read in one of the purport in fourth canto, and also by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada, the Jivas are actually ansas of internal potency. And from Krishna comes Radharani, and then comes the Jivas. It's not Jivas are coming directly from Krishna. Anyway, this can be discussed and confirmed from the scripture. But generally speaking, there are worshippers, as far as worshippers are concerned in a Vedic tradition, they are called Vaishnavas, who worship Vishnu. They are called Sevites, which worship Lord Shiva. And there are Shaktas, which worship Shakti. But they all are personalists.
Okay.
The personalists are classified into three, Vaishnavas, Sevites, and Shakta. And then there are impersonalists.
Thank you, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this these are the different terminologies used. Because they worship the person. But ultimately they think everything is impersonal. But they are personal. And other are, they don't worship all these. They worship directly impersonal.
Okay,
Hare Krishna. Thank you. And Pratik, your hand was up.
Yes, Prabhuji. As we were reading the purport of Sri Prabhupada, we see Prabhupada mentioning this many times that those who have known or accepted spiritual life are intelligent, and those who haven't are foolish or less intelligent. So the intelligence here that we are discussing about is the intelligence that we see along with the mind in the subtle body, or intelligence in general, because we see that many times devotees also lack, I mean, no offense to any devotee, but yeah, general common sense. Or
basically, when we see this purport and what we have discussed in a earlier slide seminar, those who follow the scripture are intelligent, and those follow the scripture are not intelligent. Generally speaking, this is the one criteria. Because those who follow the scripture, and Prabhupada put a name to his Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. If somebody read those scriptures, then they are intelligent. And this section which we have discussed earlier as a slideshow, that was focused on those who don't follow scripture because they are less intelligent. They are only using their own old impression of goodness, passion or ignorance, and their worship is based on that, not on scriptures. Like as just I gave example of Durga Puja or Kali Puja, there is not like a scripture way of doing. They are doing just as they have seen traditions or some political motive. So there is a difference than actually those who follow scripture and that then do. So what your question is, less intelligent and more intelligent, is criteria is inquiry athato brahma jigyasa. Those who are asking athato brahma jigyasa are intelligent. Those who are not asking athato brahma jigyasa are less intelligent.
Many devotees, Prabhuji, we see that are not doing it very consciously. They are not asking questions, or they are not aware. Like many devotees just come or join for various other purposes rather than athato brahma jigyasa. So, and there are serious inquisitive seekers, those who go like are seeking spiritual life but are unfortunately not in contact with devotees. So
they are still misguided because their all spiritual pursuit is for material gains. They don't have a vision of solving the real problems of life, birth, old age, disease and death. They want to adjust things in this material world. So they are all in the category of sophisticated, unintelligent people. Educated, sophisticated, say well standard, but less intelligent. Okay, we are going
Thank
to verse
so
number
much,
eight.
Perfect.
Verse number eight. धर्मार्थम उत्तम श्लोकम तनोह तन्वम प्रीतिम यजे रक्षा काम पुण्य जनान ओजसो कामो मरुद गणान. सो लिल मोर लिस्ट ऑफ द वर्शिप. वन शुड वर्शिप लॉर्ड विष्णु बिकॉज उत्तम श्लोक श्री प्रभुपाद ट्रुक्स एज ए विष्णु are his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of the dynasty. One should worship the various demigods. Marut Gana. Chakravarti Pad has a different version for the Uttam Shlok. Person desiring dharma should worship dharma. The person desiring many descendants should worship Pitra. The person desiring protection should worship Yaksha. Person desiring strong sense should worship Maruta. Same verse, but the meaning is somehow, Uttam Shlok means dharma. Tantu means, Tanvan means desiring increase of descendants. Punya Janaha means Yaksha. And Marutas are the devatas. So Srila Prabhupada writes, path of religion, dharma, same thing, dharma, entails making progress on path of spiritual advancement, ultimately reviving the eternal relationship with Lord Vishnu. In his impersonal effulgence, his localized Paramatma feature, and ultimately his personal feature by spiritual advancement and knowledge. And one who wants to establish a good dynasty and be happy in progress of temporary bodily relations should take shelter of Pitas. Pitas are the ancestors. They have a planet called Pitralok. And the demigods and other pious planets. Such different class of worshipper of different demigods may ultimately reach the respective planet of those demigods within the universe. But he who reaches the spiritual planet is the Brahma Jyoti. In the Brahma Jyoti, achieve highest perfection. So here, there is a like little hint to the worship of the for the Dharma, to worship the Brahma Jyoti or Paramatma or Bhagavan, and there is a difference in destination. Now, verse number 9. Rajakamo manum devam niritim tvabhirichan yachet kama kamo yajetaso mam akamaha purusham paraha. One who desires domination over the kingdom or an empire should worship manus. There are 14 manus in one day of Brahma. We are now under the rule of 7th Manu, Vevaswat Manu. And Manu is one of the Mahajan. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demon, Niriti. And one who desires sense gratification should worship Moon, Chandra. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parama. Akamaha Purusham Param. One who has no desire should worship. So the Chakravartipad writes, the person desiring to be king should worship Manus. Person desiring to kill animals should worship Niriti and Rakshasas, which is mode of ignorance. The person desiring sense gratification should worship Soma. The person desiring to destroy all material desires should worship the Supreme Lord. Rajya means desire to be king. This is distinguished from desiring a kingdom for which one worship the Vishwa Deva already given in verse number 4. Manu referred to the Manu who protect Manvantara. 71 yuga cycle each Manvantara. Abhirichan means killing enemies. Abhicharan. Abhichar is called Abhichar when these people who are doing the tantric, they use the ghost and all these, they are called Abhichar, means killing enemies. Nirityam is a Rakshasa. Kama Kama means desiring sense gratification. Having mentioned the activities of the foolish people till now, Sukhdev then mentioned the activity of intelligent person. The person desiring to destroy all material desires, Akama, should worship the Supreme Person, Bhagavan. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Somebody can read?
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhupada.
For a liberated person, all the enjoyments listed above are considered to be absolutely useless. Only those who are conditioned by the material modes of external energy are captivated by different types of material enjoyments. In other words, the transcendentalist has no material desires to be fulfilled, whereas the materialist has all types of desires to be fulfilled. The Lord has proclaimed that the materialist who desire material enjoyment and thus seek the favor of different demigods, as above mentioned, are not in control of the senses and so give themselves to the nonsense. One should therefore not desire any sort of material enjoyment, being sensible enough to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The leaders of nonsensical persons are still more nonsensical because they preach openly and foolishly that one can worship any form of demigod and get the same result. This sort of preaching is not only against the teaching of Bhagavad Gita or those of Srimad Bhagavatam, but is also foolish, just as it is foolish to claim that with the purchase of any travel ticket one may reach the same destination. No one can reach Bombay from Delhi by purchasing a ticket for Baroda. It is clearly defined here in that person impregnated with different desires have different moods of worship, but one who has no desire for material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And this worshipping process is called devotional service. Pure devotional service means service to the Lord without any tinge of material desires, including desires for fruitive activity and empiric speculation. For fulfillment of material desires, one may worship the Supreme Lord, but the result of such worship is different, as will be explained in the next verse. Generally, the Lord does not fulfill anyone's material desires for sense enjoyment, but he awards such a benediction to worshippers of the Lord, for they ultimately come to the point of not desiring material enjoyment. The conclusion is that one must minimize the desires for material enjoyment, and for this one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is described here as Param, or beyond anything material. Shri Pat Shankaracharya has also stated, Narayana Paro Vyakrat. The Supreme Lord is beyond the material encirclement.
Okay. So this much is actually, I think, today our quota, right? Am I right?
Yes, Prabhuji, up to 9th verse.
Okay, so now what we have read in this purport, Prabhupada has used a very, you can say, bold word, nonsense, fool, for all those people who are doing the worship of demigods for sense gratification. So, what it's very difficult really to preach by with this language, right?
Maharaj, I have a question here.
Yes, now we can have question answer for 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Which slide they wanted? Which slide somebody wanted? Earlier somebody has a question.
In the initial, within the four or five slides, there the virtuous and the sinful, like that.
Well, starting from here, I think. Starting from here, first verse, second verse, third verse, and then there's a purport. Virtuous, sinful impression, and previous life.
Yes.
That faith by which one worships the devas and other beings while giving up rule of scripture because of laziness or difficulty should be understood to arise from virtuous and sinful impression from previous lives. If he has...
This is mentioned with regards to the neglecting the scripture. The virtuous piety doesn't come by neglecting the scripture.
There are pious activities. People don't know a scripture, but they do pious activities. Therefore, they can worship some demigod. And they are some powerful people. The Prabhupada said, demigod, devata are other beings while giving up rules of scripture. They don't follow rules. But there are many people here, they are worshipping, there is no name in the scripture. Like you can say, there's a ladies always do this, Santoshi Mata.
Santoshi Mata.
Yeah, something like that. Somebody is a worshipper of some Jambhoji Maharaj, this Maharaj, that Maharaj, like that, there are many people. So this is because of some pious impression. If they are pious, they will worship some at least person in goodness. But if they have sinful impression, then they will worship the Rakshasa and Yakshas.
Now, but the piety, we also correlate with the Shastras. We don't relate, which is outside the Shastras. How can it be said as piety?
And say agyat sukriti, like in bhakti, we say there is a agyat sukriti. Which means we don't know scripture, but we sometimes say, oh, Hare Krishna people are good, or we can give some donation to Hare Krishna people. So we get piety without knowing even scripture. That will help us to advance in devotional service. Similarly, people, you know, they give the free water in a hot season to the people. This is a thought of piety. they are not following rules or following some scripture, but they are doing some piety. Because of that, they get the chance to do some good thing also. But they are their impression from many lifetimes.
But can we say that, you know, since they are doing the good which is already prescribed in the scriptures, can we say that there is piety activity?
There are two ways. Like now we are studying Bhagavatam. This is actually the way scripture should be understood. But there are people, they have just heard from people about these scriptural rules and regulations, but they don't know and they don't follow some authority to do the puja. Like in India, you know, everybody knows something about some worship, but not according to the scripture. They don't invite Brahman to do puja. They do some all these Ganesh puja and all these Durga puja. They just do as a custom, not according to the rules and regulation of scripture. So there are many things which are, you know, they are, maybe you can say they are highest shruti dar. They only hear from here and there, not actually studying scripture.
Fine, but we see that this type of thing happens only in Kali Yuga. But how can those in previous yugas also have this type of people?
Always, the creation is of two types: the demigod and say devasur evacha. Divayumau swarge loko devasur evacha. Always, the creation is of the demonic people and of the divine people. The people in mode of goodness are considered divine. The people in mode of passion and ignorance are considered demonic. Those who follow the Lord Vishnu are called divine people. Those who are against that principle are called demonic people. Those who follow the scripture are called divine people. Those who disobey the scripture are called demonic people. So this classification is from the beginning of the creation. But the percentage-wise, the demons are less, then it's a good time. The demons increase, that will be bad time. There's a balance only changes, but these are always there. Okay, so Anuradha, what is your question, Anuradha? Anuradha? Anuradha, what is your question?
Yeah, Maharaj, basically the thing is that, you know, again and again it said, that those who worship the demigods, like it's not incorrect, but many times I observe that it is done innocently. Like devotees happen make fun of it, they condemn, but they don't. They appreciate, but normally, naturally, it's there. So in that situation, we should be keep them on, like, you know, wait that when the Krishna will bless them also, or try to teach them.
I really could not understand. Anybody can rephrase? Somebody who has understood the question, somebody can rephrase?
What should be asked, and Maharaj? What should be our stand towards those who we think are doing all this worship innocently? Like they don't have that level of
I think your question is like that. People are worshipping demigods, what should be our reaction, or we don't know them, how should we deal with them? Right?
Yeah, Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, yeah. I have a related question, so if I can ask the question, you can answer both the questions together.
Yes, go ahead, Shyam Kishore.
So, Prabhuji, my question is slightly more controversial. My question is, why is ISKCON so confrontational when it comes to some of these subjects? Is it because Prabhupada wanted to give a very clear and like direct message that because you're speaking to the West and the Western world, that people don't get confused. Because if you look at in India, like amongst the Vaishnava, I'm not talking about, you know, other Mayavadis and all those things. I'm talking about people who are really, you know, from a good Vaishnava lineage and quite following scriptures. They are pretty much at harmony with the various demigods. For example, if you want to go do a Tirth Yatra of Badrinath ji, you have to first go to Kedarnath ji. And then even in Jagannath temple, Puri temple, the worship of the deity is actually done. The whole Jagannath deity is done as per Shankaracharya's scheme and things. Even in Badrinath temple, the worship of deity of Lord Badri Vishal is done according to Shankaracharya's system. And Rupa Goswami did mention in Nectar of Devotion that one should pay obeisances and, you know, worship to, say, Lord Ganapati. And if you look at to any temples of the Goswamis in Vrindavan, nearly in every temple you will find Lord Ganesha. You go to Govindevji in Jaipur, you pay obeisances to Ganapati ji, and then you go also to do, like, you know, worship. And even in Vrindavan, you have Gopeshwar Mahadev, you have Chakleshwar Mahadev. There are so many pastimes of Sanatan Goswami with Chakleshwar Mahadev. So, I mean, the broader, like the Vaishnava community I'm talking of, and I'm not talking of elsewhere, is pretty much in harmony with the demigods. But it is in ISKCON, the mood is confrontational. So why do you think ISKCON has a confrontational mood, whereas the broader Vaishnava community in India, especially North India, South India may still have, you know, some of the Shaivite Vaishnavite kind of a clash. But in North India, it's pretty much in harmony. So why do you think that ISKCON has such a confrontational attitude?
Sorry, Hare,
my apologies. In any way, my question.
Hare Krishna. So, first, Anuradha, your question is, when we see people worshipping demigod, what stand we should take? Right? This is your question. Is right, okay. First, we should be happy that they are following some authority. They are not out of Vedic jurisdiction. And then with a mercy in our hand, in our heart, and with a compassion, we can approach them that you are doing very nice thing according to the Vedic system. Like you have a very nice ring of gold with you. We want to give you a diamond. Would you like to put a diamond in your ring? And that diamond is Krishna. So this is what Srila Prabhupada used to say, go like a needle and come like a plow. So it is definitely in India, our preaching should be with very subtle intelligence, not to disturb people who are from tradition and from generation doing demigod worship. So we should not disturb them. Rather, by our own example, we should inspire them to elevate rather than degrade. There is two verses in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, don't disturb them. Set yourself a good example and inspire them. That is the best approach. Now the other question, Shyam, your question, Srila Prabhupada was invited once to go to some Durga Devi temple by some leaders of the Hindu community, and Prabhupada was ready to go. The follower said, so Prabhupada is a demigod? He said, she is in charge of this whole world. I am every day praying to her that don't have any obstacle on my path to preach Krishna consciousness. And then Prabhupada went there, he paid his obeisance from right side, just opposite as we pay in our temples. The all devotees, simply followed what Prabhupada. When they came back, they asked Prabhupada, why you, Prabhupada, paid obeisance from right side? He said, demigod is also jiva, we are also jiva. So jiva pay obeisance to jiva from right side. Jiva pay obeisance to the Supreme Lord from the left side. So he trained actually, and in Bhagavatam there is a worship of the Katyayani Devi by the gopis. In Dwarka there is a worship of the Dwarka Vasis of the Durga Devi. But the purpose was to get Krishna. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was touring whole South India, he visited all Shiva temples. Right from the Varanasi, Kashi Vishwanath, to the Malak Arjun and all other South Indian temples he visited, and he has a Shiva Ashtakam by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is printed in 2009, Back to Godhead. So in principle, and there's a very wonderful purport in Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 3. The qualified Brahman never disrespect any demigod. He may be ghastly as Kal Bhairav or the Kali Durga. You have done this if you remember. Though they don't worship, but they never disrespect any demigod, knowing that they are all following the order of Lord Vishnu. They are Vaishnavas. So by now we understand all the demigods are Vaishnavas. But the worshipper of demigods are not Vaishnavas. There is a confusion actually. Worshipper of demigods are condemned, not the demigods. And we have misunderstood that demigods are condemned. It is the worshipper of demigod are less intelligent, not demigods are less intelligent. So we are actually, our understanding is not correct. Therefore, harmony with those people and elevating them and helping them is better than conflicting with them. And as you said, that is also correct. In a Western world, Srila Prabhupada never wanted the confusion in a very fertile and unadulterated brain of the new devotee. So he just gave direct worship. And also, this all the Vaishnavas, when they used to come to Vrindavan, you go to Bhuteshwar Mahadev, get permission and then enter into the Vrindavan. All people who go to the Jagannath Puri, go to the Lingaraj, get permission and then enter into the Dham. So these are the traditional system set by the Vaishnavas. And each dham has a protector Shankar and a Devi. So worshipping demigod for some material benefit is less intelligent. But worshipping demigod to get blessing of Krishna or getting obstacle removed on the path of devotional service is not against the rule. If you go to the Shiva temple considering Shiva as a Param Vaishnava and ask his mercy to advance in Krishna consciousness, there's nothing wrong. But if we go to the Shiva and ask some material benefit, then we are less intelligent. I personally feel by it is good to tell people that you are worshipping demigod for some material benefit is not actually good. That is okay. But considering demigod is less intelligent is a aparadh. I consider we are doing Vaishnava aparadh by defaming demigods rather than demigod worshipper. I remember once we have a Rath Yatra in Indore, and we have an incentive that who comes for Rath Yatra, we will take them to the two Jyotirlinga. One is Omkareshwar and one is Mahakaleshwar. So some devotee said, why should we go to Lord Shiva? So one of our well-known Bhagavat Sannyasi Acharya, Gurudev, he said at that time, sir, you are inviting minister and you are garlanding him and running behind him. Is Lord Shiva less than minister? You are behind some politician for some small benefit and you think you don't care for Lord Shiva. This attitude is not Vaishnava. If we, by the way, pass by a road where there is some temple of demigod, if we remember the verse from Brahma Sahita about that demigod, we can chant that verse, pay our respect and ask blessing to be more Krishna conscious. There is a Vaishnava way. We are not going to the demigod for some material benefit. So I personally feel this approach is not, we have a big damage done by this approach. In early days we are not having our own temple, we are going in a demigod temple of the people and we are actually blasting them. And so we made many enemies actually. There's no doubt about this. So we should be intelligent to gradually bring the people from demigod worship to the Krishna consciousness very intelligently, without actually without defaming the demigod or disregarding demigod. This is my understanding.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Hare Krishna. In fact, a very, very wonderful and a very lovely explanation you gave. It is so sweet and so wonderful. And I do think, like, you know, like for the best of our movement, senior devotees like you should, like, you know, be preaching this mood so that this comes out as our mood. Of course, we firmly believe that, you know, it's Krishna consciousness and, you know, the right thing to do is, like, you know, worshipping of Lord Krishna. But at the same time, we should have the gratitude for the demigods. For instance, like Srimad Bhagavatam and Mahabharat, the scribe is Lord Ganapati. So, you know, today we can read this is because while Vyasadeva spoke it, it was Ganapati who wrote it. So at least, you know, we should have that kind of gratitude. So I think it is very, very nice that the way you have put it, and it's a great learning for all of us. Thank you, Prabhu.
I said two things, aparadh. One is less intelligent and one is offense. To worship demigod for some material benefit is less intelligence. To consider demigod equal to Supreme Lord is an offense. If we understand philosophy clearly, then sometimes people invite, I go to the people when they have some Durga Puja, sometimes they invite, or some Ganpati program. In Dubai, they were once I was there and they have a program, I went there. I said, if you are in a jail and you are friend with the jail superintendent, will you ask jail superintendent to free from the prison or you want some facility in prison? So everybody say, we will say to free from the prison, why facility? Then I ask, you are worshipping Durga, who is the superintendent of this material world. Why don't you request her to bless you to be free from this material world. Why you are asking some material benefit in the prison house to get some money or some other things? Why you are getting this? So, and I do start from Bhagavatam, that Krishna called Durga Devi, that you come and go take Balaram from here to there. So she is doing some seva in Bhagavatam. It is, and Krishna blessed that you will be worshipped in all these places. So there is nothing wrong, but we have to tell the people how to understand it. So we went to the Ganapati. I said, well, there is this son has a marriage. So son is on the horse. Father is going barefooted in front of the horse, say in a procession. So who is actually, who is more elder, father or son? My father is elder. So today is a day of Ganapati Puja, so we are worshipping him like a marriage of a son. But actually father is Krishna. So we should know this. So we have to present things in a way that people don't get offended, but they understand the truth. Then I feel, I preach, this is my methodology of preaching. No fanatism.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Compassion is more needed, not fanatism. Yes.
Prabhu, you mentioned that worshipping the demigods are, worshippers of the demigods are condemned, not the demigods. So, and also you mentioned that, worshipping for material desires to fulfill, you know, that is actually condemned. So in this regard, if somebody asks this question that, you know, so the consciousness is the fact. Consciousness is condemned actually. You know, what motive we have? Whether we are trying to escape from this material world to be free from this material world, or to be engaged by fulfilling some material desires in this world. So that consciousness is the fact. So if somebody asks that this question, that okay, now we'll worship Krishna, but for material desires to fulfill.
That's okay.
Again, that consciousness is also polluted, right?
But they so are a right. But they are a right place. Because now tomorrow, whenever next class we have, this is the concept which we'll discuss next class. That if we go to Krishna with material desire, in a process of fulfilling desire, he will purify our heart, which demigod cannot do. So if even we have material desire and we go to the Krishna, that is also the next stage we will teach to the demigod worshipper. That what you need, then you go to the Krishna for that. That is the next verse, akam sarva kamo va moksha kamo dardhi. So Krishna worship is different. And then we have, I think, some slide tomorrow. Tomorrow, do we have a class? I think tomorrow there's some presentation. What is there? The timetable says tomorrow there's no class. Rameshwari, what about tomorrow's class?
Prabhuji, I have this question also, that they are Vaishnavas also, like, you know, they are ultimately, you know, under the guidance of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They have got some positions to maintain
all,
this.
All demigods are Vaishnavas. All demigods are Vaishnavas.
If someone asks for, to be free from this material world, you know, so Vaishnavas will guide that devotee, isn't it? So that is not condemned, right? So if they go this way, yeah, so they can reach in the worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, isn't it?
Well, gopis went to Katyayani to get Krishna as a husband. So there's nothing wrong in that. So demigod as a Vaishnava can help us to get Krishna. But if we have other motives, then we are not really intelligent. That's what actually. So but our misconception is that demigods are not condemned. Demigod worshippers are condemned. Demigods cannot purify them, cannot liberate them. They will continue their samsara or repeated birth and death. Therefore, it should not be encouraged. But anyway, this section has a demigod worship which Sukhdev is not recommending. He is recommending the worship of the Supreme Lord rather than demigods. That will be the next section. So somebody can tell me for tomorrow's class?